T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, let's jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline real quick. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors at one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Tony Pauline, friend of the show, going to join us now, host of the Draft Analyst on the Believe Podcast Network and analyst at ProFootballNetwork.com. Tony, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me.
Tony, thanks for coming on. And I got to apologize ahead of time because I didn't think it was going to be this early in the season that we're going to be reaching out to you about the draft. So I'm sorry, Tony. This usually takes place in late November, December, man. So I apologize, but it's pretty obvious the Dolphins are taking a quarterback. I think everybody sees that. I was wondering, Tony, just in general, we've talked about the same. You know, everybody's on that tank for Tua thing down here. But I was wondering, how do you evaluate the guys that aren't on great teams that don't have a lot of talent around them? A guy like Jordan Love at Utah State or somebody like that, or even Fromm doesn't have the weapons that Burrow has and Tua has. And so how do you go about trying to figure out? Because we look at those sexy numbers and Tua's throwing to all those first-round picks and he's throwing for 900 yards in 3 quarters. How do we evaluate them all?
Never mind the fact that, you know, his running back core goes 3 deep and he's got a great offensive line. And, you know, it's funny. The opposite is just it can sometimes be just as difficult. How do you properly evaluate Tagliavoa, you know, really with all that great talent around him? But to answer your question, you know, a guy like Jordan Love from Utah State, who I've had great as a first-round pick for the longest time, you're looking at more of his upside, what he's going to be, what you can potentially turn him to be once you get the proper tools around him, once you get him into an NFL passing system. The thing about Jordan Love, the thing that you want to see with a guy is that he makes good decisions. And Jordan Love makes good decisions, that he's not relying on arm strength to make passes, you know, to force the ball into coverage. And Jordan Love doesn't do that. And that's the thing. I think Jacob Fromm, it's a little bit of a different case. He's a little bit smaller. He had good weapons at him last year. I don't think he's as accurate as a guy like Jordan Love. Okay. But really what you're looking at, you want to look at the physical skills, and you want to make sure that the guy's making plays with his head as well as making plays with his arm strength.
You scare me on the whole development thing, though. I'm looking – so I got a crush on Joe Burrow. I mean,
well,
I'll just get right to
thing,
it.
The development thing is with any quarterback. I mean, you know, you see Sam Darnold come in with immediate returns. You see Daniel Jones with the Giants.
Right.
But any quarterback is going to need development.
Right. No, true. You're right. And you're going to learn at the next level and everything else. So I got a little crush on Joe Burrow. I think he's come on strong here. I don't know where you have him, but is there any shot that Joe Burrow keeps playing the way he's playing? He could be the first overall quarterback?
Highly unlikely. I mean, I would be shocked. He came into the season graded as a 6th-round pick. Could he be a 1st-round choice? Absolutely. Could he be the first overall pick? No, but that's in large part because there's so much incredible talent at the top, or so much really good, potentially good talent at the top at the quarterback position with Tagliavoa, with Jordan Love. Justin Herbert has fallen off some. I mean, if you're a fan of Joe Burrow, you got to like what Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma is doing because he's having an outstanding season. So I think that Burrow could move into the first round. I don't think he's going to be a top, at least right now, he's not going to be a top 12 pick. I mean, LSU's got a pretty tough schedule ahead of him. They've got some pretty good defenses, and then you're going to want to really watch and see how he does against Alabama, which I believe that game is the beginning of November. And if he's able to keep the momentum going and he's got that, he basically doesn't take the pedal off the metal, he has a good senior ball, he could go very high. I just don't think he's going to be the first pick of the draft.
So, Tony, right now you're way too early. Top 5 quarterbacks in order or what? No, I'm just because everyone's got a different top, you know, couple. Everyone's got this guy ranked 1 or this guy. But right now your kind of top 5 is what when it comes to the quarterbacks coming out, or you think are coming out?
I think Tagovailoa is number one. Jordan Love is number two. Justin Herbert's number three. Jalen Hurts is number four. Then Jacob Eason of Washington. Although I will say probably after this week, Eason's probably slid a little bit and Joe Burrow's moving up.
Wow. So you've got Jordan Love too. Tony, boy, you're going out on that one. You see that, you know, and again, he plays against LSU where you don't have the same kind of talent. You got no shot. You don't put up good numbers. And I got people going, I'm done with Jordan Love. I saw him against LSU. And I'm like, yeah, Utah State's not playing with LSU talent. There's no question. Boy, do you think this is a strong overall quarterback class?
I think it has the potential to be very good. And don't forget, you know, that LSU secondary is as good as most secondaries
That's
in
true.
The NFL. I mean, they got two first rounders in there. One guy is going to be a top 15 pick. They got a freshman in there that's potentially going to be a top 15 pick down the road. They got another junior that's going to be a second day pick. So that is an NFL secondary. But I love Love. I love Love. There you go.
Uh-huh.
I
you like love the love. That's love good. We love you when go. You like that,
yeah.
Tony.
Yeah.
He's got the size. He's got the arm strength. He's athletic. He makes plays in and out of the pocket. I think what he's done this year, and you go back to the game against Wake Forest, the first game of the year, I think because of the fact that he doesn't have the talent around him that, forget about Tagovailoa at Alabama, he doesn't have the talent that Justin Herbert has at Georgia, or even Jake Fromm has at Georgia, I think he's just pressing too much. I think he's trying to take too much on his shoulders, which is certain. Plus, there's also been a change at in the head coaching department at Utah State, so it's a bit of a different offense.
Tony, offensive tackle, left, right tackle, whatever it might be, it's going to be priority here for this team, obviously. We got priority number one out of the way in quarterback, but tackle's going to be another one. How deep is it first round, second round, third round with those tackles?
The talent is there. It's just a matter of which underclassmen enter the draft because, as I reported on Pro Football Network a couple of times last month, the word I'm getting is Tristan Wirfs, who would be the highest-rated tackle. And he's from Iowa, is very likely, or he's leaning towards going back to college for another year. His family is giving signs that, you know, this is the direction we're going to go if he enters the draft. But right now, you know, he's got his heart set on returning to Iowa because he's an academic kid. He likes academics and he likes the school. He just likes school. So that is one tackle that may or may not be in the mix. And then you got Walker Little of Stanford, who probably would have been the third highest rated tackle before his injury. We don't know if he's going to enter the draft. If all the top tackles enter the draft, regardless of, assume Wirfs enters and doesn't go back to school and Walker Little's healthy, you're talking about five, maybe six potential first-round prospects
wow.
at the position.
Wow,
that's nice to hear.
Yeah, you know what? There seems to be, Tony, you watch the NFL for a living. It seems to be a real shortage of offensive linemen. I hear more complaints from every team going, yeah, we're shorthanded. Oh, we got one injury. We're really down. Our offensive line's not where it needs to be. And we hear it almost every week. Does there seem to be a shortage of offensive linemen in the NFL right now?
I think what happens is you know, there have been so many – first of all, what happens is your best athletes, your big guys on the college level are put on the defensive line. They're not made offensive linemen. And then what happens is with the offensive linemen, they're poorly coached on the college level. You know, they're not taught proper fundamentals. It's not, you know, set with a wide base, bend your knees and get your hands up. It's just get yourself comfortable, lock on the other guy, and make sure you block them. So I think the problem is number one, your better athletes as far as your 300-pounders are put on the defensive line in college. And then they're not taught proper to block with proper fundamentals, which does not translate well to the next level.
All right, and the other one Zach was getting ready to ask you about. So let me see. We got a bunch of needs down here, Tony. We hit quarterback
tackle.
And tackle. Those are one, two. We need a pass rusher.
Right.
We need a one-on-one difference maker, a guy to put pressures and sacks. What do you got out there?
As does most of the league.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, you know, the fact that they looks like they're going to have two early first-round picks, depending on what happens with
Pittsburgh. Yeah.
You got Chase Young at Ohio State, who's going to be a very early selection. You got Julian Okwara of Notre Dame, who's probably going to go land in the bottom half of round one. Same thing with Yetur Gross-Matos. So I think what they may look at is with that probably that third first-round pick, that's where they may be able to get their pass rusher. And again, we're just projecting here because it's so far out in the future. You know, you probably go maybe quarterback with that first pick, offensive tackle with that second selection, And then with that third selection round one, you take a pass rusher.
Is this a good overall draft, by the way? It potentially, if the underclassmen come out, which I don't understand why they wouldn't, if they're going to be first-round picks, but how's it look?
I think overall solid. I don't think it's anything spectacular. I think what's going to happen is you're going to read in the media how much people love it because of the fact that there's a good amount of quarterbacks. And unfortunately, what goes on is people who don't follow the draft year-round gauge the strength of the draft based on the quarterback class. It's a good tackle class, which teams like to see. It's a very mediocre cornerback class. It doesn't look like it's going to be that great of a cornerback class, especially at the top. And that's really how they gauge it. That's how they gauge it between the tackle class and the cornerback class, as well as the pass rushers. You got a few good pass rushers there, but after Chase Young of Ohio State, it really falls off a lot.
If you were the GM of the Dolphins with the number one pick, would you take Tua?
Boy, there was a long pause there with Tony. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
He's thinking about it.
My whole thing with the Dolphins is I'd rather – you got to put Josh Rosen in and see what you have or what you don't have with Josh Rosen. You made the move for him. You got him at a discounted value. Put him on the field, just as long as you're not getting the crud beat out of him. See what you got with him first and then make your decision there. Tagovailoa, a lot has got to be played out. He's had some bumps in the road. He's a terrific quarterback. I think he's more than just a system guy. I do think he's got the talent. I think he's got it going on between the ears. I think he's got a good amount of upside, a little bit smaller. You have to wonder, does your offensive coordinator like the smaller quarterback? Let's wait and see how it's going to be played out. I'm not sold on him being the first pick of the draft. But we'll have to wait and see.
That was pretty interesting. Okay. By the way, the Josh Rosen thing, Tony, you're watching that. One of my complaints when people get on him and stuff is it's hard to look good sometimes with this offensive line. He got pounded in the first quarter. One of the worst first quarters of offensive pass protection I've ever seen. How do you evaluate a guy through all that? And then he did make some bad throws and bad decisions, but how hard is to evaluate when you go through that?
It's impossible because, what happens is the guy gets, as we used to say, the work cabin fever. I mean, he gets gun-shy.
Correct.
He's going to get pounded back there. He starts moving his feet when he shouldn't. He starts looking for pass rushers more than he is for receivers. So, you're right. It's a very tough thing. And you can't fully, you can't fully expect to properly scout a guy like that in that sort of situation. It's near impossible.
By the way, I'm with you because it sounds like you like Josh Rosen. I don't know what he's like in the meeting room. He's a little bit different guy overall from some of the guys on the team. I get that with Fitzpatrick on this team. But, man, he's got some talent. He can throw the football. Tony, I see what you guys see in him. Josh, he was a first-round pick for a reason because he's made some throws that you go, wow, it's pretty damn good.
And he gets it between the ears. And you're right. I don't know what he's like in the meeting room. But you got to say this about Josh Rosen. And I was one of those guys who was reporting about his different personality through the 2018.
Oh, it's a little different. I'm just telling you.
But the fact is this. You know what? When that whole situation was going down in Arizona last year with the Kyler Murray and that they were going to take Kyler Murray, and Josh Rosen shut his mouth.
Yeah.
Josh
he
Rosen
took the high
wasn't
road.
Complaining.
Yep.
He wasn't demanding a trade. He was like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and I'm going to adjust to it, which, you got to give credit where credit is due because I thought that showed a lot about Josh Rosen last year.
Tony Pauline, host of the Draft Analyst on the Believe Podcast Network, also analyst at ProFootballNetwork.com. We appreciate your time as always.
Tony, yeah, you held up pretty well. Tony held up well for the team that could have the first overall pick. It's looking real strong, so thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Tony Pauline, our friend, early Tony Pauline.
Boy, I don't – listen, man.
There was a long pause
Jordan
after
Love,
Tua.
I know, but Jordan know. Love second?
Right. Yeah, he's got Tua, Love, Herbert, Hurts.
That's going to be a hard that's going to be a hard sell to fan base coming out of Utah State because the average fan's going to look at those numbers and go, something's wrong here.
Right.
Even though we've heard that name now for a while, does he pull the Duke special and jump ahead of people? Only he's not even in a Power 5 conference.
He's got Burrow 6.
That's going to be a tough one. Yeah, there's no way.
He's got Burrow 6?
There's no way. He said he's moving up, but Joe Burrow's not going to be the fifth quarterback.
6?
Hold on. Put my Mel Kiper Jr. cap on. It's beautiful, man. There's no way Joe Burrow's going that low.
If that's the case, you probably get him in the second round.
Yeah, right. All right, well, hey, Chris, just hold on to your second or third. We got a guy.
You can't pull in Ireland. Oh, well, we had him here, but we couldn't. No, don't do that.
Ireland stuff. No. See, sorry. Why'd you bring him
sorry.
Up?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.